Sorry, press up. Ah, good morning, everybody. I am so nervous, and I don't know why. I know. I guess it's because I guess this topic is important to me, but I also don't feel like I'm the person to talk about it. I don't feel like I grasp it fully, so maybe if somebody hears what I'm saying and they can think of a better way to put it in another opening or main message, go for it. I was just, what I want to talk about today is something God has been trying to teach me for a very long time. And it's a love for Jesus that comes from a heart of true repentance, and not love of Jesus that just comes from doing the works that I so badly want to just make it simplified and do the works and whip myself into shape. And so for a long time, Jesus has been teaching me that. And Emmanuel talked about this. Well, I thought it was about this a couple weeks ago. Just coming to Jesus and saying, I need you. Anyway, let's begin with a word of prayer.
Oh.
Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for just while we were yet sinners dying for us. Lord, just help us to love you. It's hard for us to do that, at least in my experience. Lord, just teach us how to know you. Teach us how to submit to you. And teach us how to be weak and fall before you in need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So a couple things that I guess if I get boring or I'm stumbling over words, you guys can think back to is the new covenant that, what's his name? Jerry Mahora was talking about. And what all you remember about the new covenant and what that new covenant all entails. And then, who am I? Like, who am I? And then, who is Jesus in relation to who I am? Yeah. If something's not understood, I can understand that. So just come talk to me. I love having conversation more than public speaking. So I would love to continue talking about this and thinking about this with other believers and being encouraged and encouraging one another. I tend to speak on things that have been an issue for me or a struggle for me through my younger years and still now. And it's fascinating to me how the way I express it is the same way many people have expressed things in their messages, but for some reason it didn't click with me. But then once I get it, I go back to trying to explain it to somebody else in the same words that I didn't understand. So, like, anyway, I just, yeah, please be proactive listeners as, we all need to be that as we seek to follow Jesus. So to start out, I just want to, for us to imagine it's the day of the Lord. All right. The sky opens up, the clouds open. Jesus is up there looking down at you, and heaven and earth rejoice It's the day that everybody's been waiting for, except for those who don't believe. But heaven and earth rejoice. Finally, justice has come. Finally, the new creation is here. And it's the ultimate climactic scene of the movie or whatever you want to think of. How do you feel at this time? Like, what are you feeling? When I was thinking about this opening, I had to think about 1 John 3. And we'll open there in a second. As I've gone about my Christian journey, that hope has not been very, very firm in me, I guess is a way to put it. I remember listening to a message from Francis Chan where he was talking about, if you had everything but Jesus, would you be happy? And when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, I think I would actually. And now I'm still like, yeah. If Jesus came back today, would I be thinking, oh man, I wish I got my garage roof on, or something silly like that? You know how, look, it's so easy to get attached to silly material things in this world that don't even matter, get out of the big picture and settle into the small, the here and now instead of the life evermore. So I want to talk about loving Jesus deeply comes from a heart that knows who we are, knows how desperately we need him, and how undeserving we are. I guess through my life as a Christian, I guess I grew up with Christ dying for me. Before I was a Christian, I was like, yeah, that's there. Like, I just kind of expected it. It wasn't, I didn't have the sense that I didn't deserve this great, immense gift from God. And some things Jerry Mahora was talking about reminded me of that. And so I guess that's what I want to impart today, is just this realization of how utterly undeserving we actually are. Like, I forget that so easily. Let me just go down through. I'm gonna mix up all my notes that I worked hard to try to pull my thoughts together and make it reasonable sounding. So I'll try not to off track. Anyway, so let's go to 1 John 3. That's where I think God led my mind when I was thinking about these things. First John 3:1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That promise has been amazing to me. So long as I hope in that day when he comes back and he's looking down and I get to finally be free of my flesh, my materialism, my greed, my self-ambition, and live with him, like, but so often, like, I get lost in the little things, and we all do, I think, and if I actually stopped, like, throughout my days, most of the time, I don't think I would actually be looking forward to Jesus. I would be looking forward to going home and seeing Erica and eating a supper with her, or whatever. So I just wanted to reach to this verse and say, like, let's desire that. And if we aren't desiring that, then we're not realizing how we need him, and we're not realizing how desperately wicked our heart actually is and how beautiful it'll be to be free of it. We're just kind of, at least I do, I find it so easy to just get so used to my flesh and be like, all right, this is how it is. I guess I just got to get used to this part of me being here. And so we get from this passage that we purify ourselves through hope in being like Christ. That hope in being like Christ. We hope to be someone when we respect them, when we love them, when we find them as someone we want to imitate. I see in Scripture, like I've kind of already said, that we gain this respect through a heart of brokenness. I would call that what Emmanuel was talking about a couple weeks ago, a heart of brokenness. And to see that in Scripture, I want to go to Luke 7, 36. This is going to be the longer passage here, but please bear with me and see the overall picture. Luke 7, 36 through the end of the chapter. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now the Pharisee who had invited him saw this and spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. And you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This heart of brokenness, humility, and meekness comes from the heart of this woman who saw her inability and saw the beauty of Jesus and what he held for her, I think. So she fell on Jesus as her last hope. And it's initially, I think we all need to get there. As Emmanuel was speaking about a couple weeks ago. Again, I keep saying that. But it's hard for us to see our sins. Like, that woman was shamed by the culture around her, shamed by everybody. It was, everyone knew that God did not approve of her lifestyle. God was ashamed, was not happy with her. And so for her, it was easy for her to see her sin and be like, yes, I am a sinner. I can't get away from this lifestyle. I've built this for me. I'm trapped. I need Jesus. But for us, it's at least for me, my sins are all kind of internal. Like, I find myself frequently in the shoes of this Pharisee, blind to much of my sin and shrugging my shoulders with friends at the seemingly meager infractions against Jesus. Like, I got angry. Ah, everybody gets angry. Ah, ha, whatever. I don't think Jesus wants us to just be constantly, you know, perfectionistic over everything. That's not what I'm saying either. But he does want us to see those things of the New Testament that are the camels, as Jerry Mahore spoke of. I think I remember that. I hope everybody remembers what I'm talking about. Thank God he gave us the mirror of his word. We can look into his word and see who we really are and see our sins for what they truly are, as he sees them. Let's go to James 1, 21. James 1:21 through 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I find myself always forgetting something. So I praise Jesus that he gives us his word. We can go to it every day and we can look back in the mirror and be like, that's what I look like. I need Jesus. I need him. And I don't think that's all it's supposed to show, but I think that's something that he wants to show us and we need to be reminded of. I need to be reminded of. When this heart of a New Testament Pharisee rears up in me, the worst wickedness I see in my heart is to take the sacrifice of Christ for granted, not something that I in no way deserve. I want to turn to Hosea 3. Hosea 3. 4 and 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. I love that. God is so good that we fear his goodness. I don't know how to express it, but if we're aware of our undeserving, we don't deserve a part in goodness, mercy, love, or truth, but he is so good that he gives it to us anyway, and more through a perfect sacrifice of Christ's blood. And it's that goodness that we need to be in awe of. So I know it's hard to think of something on the spot when we're asked, but tell me, boast in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? What did he do? What are some of the things that make us fear his goodness in this new covenant? Not a rhetorical question. You died for your sins. Yep. Yep. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
He makes himself glorious to accomplish all forces of evil.
Makes himself glorious. Interesting. Good way to put it.
Like minded, also be. Be nice to them. Sometimes the name that's nice to us.
Yep.
It's just amazing. Presents things.
Yeah. So Jesus came down from, this is just something I wrote real quick, but Jesus came down from heaven and started a relationship with us to break the lens of religion that the Jews and mankind had formed for themselves. He gave us a new covenant to live by, not one of whipping ourselves into shape, but one of humbling ourselves to getting in the yoke with him, a covenant of mercy, forgiveness, and grace through faith in the power of his death on the cross and the final blood sacrifice to fulfill and cleanse as no sacrifice but the beloved Son of God could. Praise him. So I was thinking about how I might have taken this verse when I was younger, or simply, yeah, younger. I don't know. Not much younger. But I might be like, well, I can't comprehend the blood of Christ on the cross. I can't, that was 2,000 years ago. I can't do it. What do I do? And, you know, somebody told me once that Jesus died for my inability to comprehend his death on the cross. And that was crazy to me. Still is crazy to me. So I just want to call everyone to ask Jesus to show you who you are and who he is, and praise him from a heart of love and desire for more of him. And Jesus just wants us to ask and have faith, and he will fill us with himself. So thank you, everybody. That's what I had to share. And may God bless you.